Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Song that is that we hear once a year just about. I can't even spell Auld Lang Syne, but I got Jim Holder, Captain Jim Holder, retired from Eastern Airlines with us. And Jim, could you tell us a little bit about the tradition of the song and whatever you got for us?
Yeah, Neil, sure. I'll be glad to. New Year's Eve is full of traditions that are easy to understand, like counting down the seconds until the day the calendar changes, for example. Others are a little less straightforward. Case in point, singing Auld Lang Syne, or at least humming along while it plays on the TV in the background or the folks around you singing it. Don't blame yourself if you don't know the lyrics, despite the song coming around every year. The words Auld Lang Syne literally mean long, old, long since, though in practice it means old times, especially times fondly remembered, as well as a, quote, old along friendship. I hope I'm not confusing you. It's from the Scots language, and the expression was first recorded in between 1660 and 1680. But why did millions of people sing it on New Year's Eve every year? It all started with Robert Burns, the national poet of Scotland. He wrote his Auld Lang Syne version, the one that we've all come to know, at least kind of know, in 1788, and he published it in 1796. Since the first known recording of the expression came about more than a century earlier, it's clear it wasn't an entirely new concept. He built on it a little bit. Now, Burns may get credit for Auld Lang Syne, but no one knows who actually wrote the first poem, the poem itself. Burns himself didn't claim the ditty. Instead, he said he took a fragment of a folk song that he'd heard and built more lyrics around it. It's believed that the chorus and first stanza come from somewhere else, while the rest, most likely, is a Burns original. The chorus and first stanza, of course, are the bits that people typically know if they know any of them at all. So now, why is Auld Lang Syne a New Year's Eve song? The final day of the year is an time for looking back at the day's past, and that makes the theme and gist of Auld Lang Syne ripe for seasonal use. Still, that doesn't fully explain why centuries-old Scottish folk song became such a New York Eve hit in America, New Year's Eve hit in America. Now, one of the reasons is that Auld Lang Syne made it to the New Year's Eve lore is because of mass media. A popular New Year's Eve broadcast on radio and then television hosted by Guy Lombardo and his band, the Royal Canadians. It ran from about 1929 to 1976, long run. Lombardo came to be known as Mr. New Year's Eve because of the broadcast. Well, Mr. New Year's Eve himself, his own self, is responsible for pushing Auld Lang Syne to the masses year after year after year after year on his annual show. And if anything can make an 18th century Scottish song popular in the modern era, it's the power of television. And now you know.
Thanks, Jim. And we've got to play our song that I associate with the radio show and Eastern Airlines and remembering the company that we worked for. I wouldn't call it work, but we're with for so many years, most of us, and other folks that tune in our radio show from other airlines also. It's a song about remembering things, and it's sung by right now I can't even think. It's Jerry Goldberg. So here it is. We'll play it now.
Mm-hmm. Once there was a neighborhood street, handlebars, bicycle seats, a house full of love, a great place to grow. Once upon a long time ago, if only I could go back again to Mom and Dad and all of my friends, I would feel safe with the people I know. From once upon a long time ago, I'll never fly off to Neverland, I'll never travel in time. All I can do is the best I can and go there in my mind. So I close my eyes, imagine I'm there, hide and seek, musical chair, hot summer night and the cool winter snow. From once upon a long time ago, smile as I look back on roads I've crossed, traveling down memory lane. But without all of those that I loved and lost, life is not the same. For all the good times I can recall, to all I've loved, God bless you all. The happiest moments that I'll ever know were once upon a long time ago.
Yes, once upon a long time ago, we all remember. And to start our program, I'd like to welcome all of those countries that have been listening in over the past few years. And the last broadcast we had of last year, of the following countries listened in to our program. And to all of these countries around the world, we say Happy New Year. Don't know whether you sing Auld Lang Syne or not, but Happy New Year to everyone. To Norway, Netherlands, United Kingdom, Ireland, Germany, Latvia, Russia, Romania, Croatia, Austria, Switzerland, France, Spain, Portugal, Kenya, United Republic of Tanzania, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Dominican Republic, Mexico, Canada, 23 nations around the world, all listening in to the EAL Radio Hour. Wow, wow, what a lineup. Thanks so much for listening in, and we hope to have you listen in all this year when the show is on the air. Now, I'd like to welcome our guests that are with me today. You heard Jim Holder, Captain Jim Holder, Eastern Airlines, and I've got another caller on the line from, and I think that area code looks like it might be Harry Lindquist. Is that you, Harry?
Yes, it's me. Hello, Neil. You're sounding great.
All right. Well, you are too for the new year. Yeah. All right. So we're all great. Let's start off that way and remain that way. So, so much has happened, you know, this past year. 2021 and aviation, well, of course, so much has happened to affect our lives with this pandemic still around. So much has happened in aviation with many companies that now are focusing on unmanned and electric aircraft, terror in the air. New airlines have been formed and others going out of business. I guess it's like most other businesses. It's the survival of the fittest. So I wish them all well, those that are flying the air today, but I understand, and you guys can fill me in, Jim Holder and Harry, break in any time, but I've heard thousands of flights have been canceled over the holidays. Have you guys heard that or read it?
Yes, and it's getting worse. It's not getting better. The numbers of if you watch the news, it's just that there's some people who are having a terrible time getting home from their Christmas travels.
Well, what's caused all the cancellations mainly? It's not the weather.
No,
is
I
it?
Don't think it was. It's just the fact that the people that test positive, as I understand it, and it is very confusing, and if you want to get read more confusing, just start listening to all these medical experts that are getting up and talking about it and talking about each other and not knowing what's going on. I'll tell you, it's a mess. But it's the fact that you can't fly for a certain period of time for 10 days or something. And different airlines are taking a different approach as far as it's just a mess. There's no doubt about it. It's just, if you test positive, you can't fly for 10 days or something, and you can play football after 5, I think. I don't know.
Well,
and you can't get
I've
it straight
heard,
by watching the news, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Harry, I was going to ask you,
I
how would you like to be in crew
that.
Scheduling right now, Harry?
Oh, no. No, sir. No, sir. I don't think so. I have heard, and of course you and Jim would be very aware of this, or any airline personnel, but, you know, if a crew member calls in sick or has COVID or whatever for, you know, a 4-day trip, that could be, you know, 15 or 20 segments. Who knows? So
it's not
like you're just going to the airport to fly to Boston and back. You may be gone for 1, 2, 3, 4 days, and that affects everything.
Yeah, that's true. You know, my across the street neighbor right here in our cul-de-sac that we are in, we usually gather in the afternoons because we have nothing else to do except talk about old times and our illnesses and what have you. But they went out to Colorado. They had rented a condominium out there and flew into Denver via Atlanta, from Jacksonville to Atlanta to Denver. And when they went out for their evening flight, afternoon flight, it turned out to be late afternoon to Atlanta, the flight had canceled. They hadn't called them or anything. The flight had canceled. And so they asked if there was another flight in the evening that they could stay at the airport. And the gal at the ticket agent, I won't mention the airline, but the gal at the reservation said, no, this was the last flight, and it didn't make it. It canceled. So at any rate, they came home. Well, they went back out the next day for the first flight out, and they said, the guy that was at the counter there said, well, why didn't you guys take the flight after the one that canceled? And they said, they told us that there was no other flights. But at any rate, it got worse as they went out to Denver, and things that had happened to them out there in the ski area, not the fire. They weren't anywhere close to the fires out there. And they always said that on the way back, they had a cancellation coming back, and it was due to a crew member. And it seems like that's happening more and more often, Harry, that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I'm sure
you
guys heard.
COVID is so rampant right now that's not surprising.
Yeah. And I don't know whether the crew members are afraid or just, not showing up. And I remember my excuse was, hey, crew sked, I just had a drink. I don't know whether I should go on this trip or not.
Neil, I believe that was the number one reason.
Yeah, you probably remember me saying it. I was the number one guy that said it, probably.
I don't remember you saying it, but that was usually the number one reason.
Yeah.
Oh.
You never used that.
Well,
guys, it's probably changed, but what percent of reserve pilots do airlines keep on hand. I know it has to do with weather and time of year and that type of thing, but do they have a 5% reserve, a 10% reserve of crew members?
I wasn't given any information about how many. Do you know,
no.
Jim?
No, I don't either, because you're number one when they call you. Oh, you got to go, you know. And they called me once. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the air before, but the most miserable Christmas I've ever had. A friend of mine called me about 5 minutes after crew schedule called me on Christmas Day morning. And I answered the phone, and I couldn't say I had eggnog or nothing else, you know. And, you know, being, you know, I'm on, you know, I'm a bid holder, but they calling me and all that kind of stuff. And it was to Houston, to Corpus Christi. And it left around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And right after I hung up, a good friend called and said, don't answer the phone. They're trying to draft. And I said, that's too late. So we got to Corpus Christi. And that place was deader than a doornail. I mean, I don't even think anybody was in the hotel. And they had a vending machine. Nobody was open, the restaurants or anything. It was bad. And they had a vending machine that was sold out. And there I am in Corpus Christi. I don't know where the other crew members went, but I didn't see them on Christmas Day. God almighty, the movies were not running, and the Mexican foods were closed. Oh, man, I'll never forget that. And, you know, but I, you know, they got me and I went, you know, and I'm sure somewhere they probably could put a gold star by my name or something. And I can tell you, I've probably told this story many times to everybody about when I was sitting on reserve in Atlanta as a junior captain. And I won't bother y'all. You want to hear that story one more time?
Yeah, because I'm going to tell another story I've told a million times on the radio,
all
too.
Right.
So go ahead one more time, Jim.
This is a story, and I love to tell this story. It's Atlanta crew schedule. We had a guy came down from Philadelphia, and he was on the ramp, I think, a ramp tower or something like that, and became a crew scheduler. And he was known to be gruff and all that kind of stuff, and I'm not sure he fitted in too well with the Southerners, but he was a nice guy. But I was a junior captain, about number 16 to go or something like that. But still, you're on reserve. You can't go to the movie. You can't do nothing, you know. Just sit there and wait. And at 11:55, the phone rang. And the rundown was in stone at noon. And the phone rang. And I answered it. And it says, Captain Holder, answer your phone in a few minutes. And I said, and he hung up. And I recognized his voice. And I said, well, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard, you know. You know, I'm on reserve. That don't mean I got to sit here and wait for a phone call in 3 minutes, but I did. And he called back, and he said, Captain Holder, this is blank and crew schedule. We've got the trip for you tomorrow. You're going to ride first class from Atlanta to San Francisco, and the next day you're going to have a long layover, of course, and you're going to fly a 727 substitute for a 757 back to Atlanta. And I said, holy some moly, this is great. Now I'm off duty until the next afternoon, and then all I do is deadhead to San Francisco in first class, you know, enjoying the service, and then fly back the next day, and then I'm off for, what, 16 hours, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And that's one of my very best stories. But I just often wondered if they had a few gold stars by my name or something, and they said, well, this is a nice thing. Let's give it to Jim Holder, because he's come out so many times before pissing and moaning, but he came out, you know.
Hey, Jim.
Call him Jim.
Let me ask Harry. Harry, do you that might have been you.
No, it wasn't Harry.
No, I think I know who he's talking about.
Yeah, he was very, very, had a very much a Philadelphia accent, and was very loud spoken too.
Well, I got a caller online here, area code 519. Who might that be?
That's Renee, London, Ontario.
Hey Renee, how you doing?
Well, I'm late getting on the call, but I'm here. Glad to be here.
Good, very good. How are things up in Canada? White?
Yeah, very white. About 6 inches of snow.
Oh, my golly. Oh. I guess you guys have had a lot of cancellations too. You've been reading all these cancellations. I guess it affects Air Canada and the rest of you guys up there.
Yeah, that's true. It's the same thing up here, you know, cancellations and all that. So
yeah,
we're trying to get over it.
Happy New Year, Renee.
And you and all the guys.
Now, I got to tell my story like Jim got to tell his for the 50th time. I'll tell mine, which I've told so many times. Crew scheduling called me and wanted me for a trip. And I, too, was a junior captain. And I said, where am I going? And he said, you're going to Bethlehem. This was Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to Bethlehem. I thought he was joking, but I actually did go to Bethlehem. Because they got me on that trip up to Bethlehem, you know, the ABE, Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton Airport. And we laid over in Bethlehem at the hotel there, beautiful hotel. And we had a few passengers, but I think we were the only people in the hotel. And the next morning we came down Christmas morning to originate our trip back to Atlanta via wherever else we stopped. And they had a special breakfast for us and gave us each a gift of a coffee cup with the Bethlehem logo on the outside. I still have my coffee cup from that trip.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great trip. I didn't want to go, but it turned out, like you, Jim, that was a good trip for you. I would have volunteered for that trip any day. San Francisco, Deadhead, put me in, Coach.
So. Yeah, I know it was. Yeah. I got another Christmas Eve story.
I was going to ask Harry one question before that story. You never did show any favoritism, did you, Harry? Now, come on, tell me the truth.
You really couldn't because, you know, the guy that was drafted, sometimes he would come in and say, I want to see the list, and I want to see who you call before me.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were taking a risk if you did.
That would be people like Hal Cook. And others of his ilk.
You're about right there. One among a few. Not many, but he would be the one. Man, I can still see old Hal walking around blustering and loud talking. That was just old Hal Cook.
You could hear and feel, almost feel him walking down the hall.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. But those were good times. You know, I posted on our Facebook pages comments, or I posted an editorial in December about the air terror that we're experiencing now, and all the airlines that I send out an e-blast that we're doing the radio show. And many folks listen in from other airlines, and they saw my editorial, which was basically that the FAA should really tighten down what's happening in the air today to our flight crew members, especially the flight attendants. And it wasn't a long editorial, and I just wanted to know what the thoughts were of other folks out there. And I got some great calls. I got a call from a gal that flew for Pan American. We must have been on the telephone. We even face-talked. And I saw her, and she saw me, and she was really wanting to do something about it. And Ann Sweeney was her last name, a flight attendant that had flown for Pan American. And so I just wanted to read a few of these comments from those folks that had sent in or posted a reply to that editorial. But before I do that, I'm going to ask. I got another request from a guy named Bill Warner. I don't know who Bill Warner is, but anyhow, he writes, does anyone remember my stepfather, Frank McIntyre? Frank McIntyre. I believe he piloted for Eastern for a time among other airlines. He was a great man and treated my mom very, very good. So that was a request if anyone knew on Facebook his stepfather Frank McIntyre. I guess he lost probably where he is or if he's still alive. So if anyone knows about that, go to the web not the web, but the Facebook page. And by the way, it's Eastern Airlines Retired Association, EARA, Eastern Airlines Retiree Association homepage, and just give us an answer as to whether you know where Frank is or about him. And we had other comments. First of all, I'm going to ask Jim, since I sent you and others, some of these comments that were posted, these all came from National Airlines. Jim, would you tell us the name of the person and what their comment was, is brief or whatever they said?
You said National Airlines?
Yeah, National Airlines with Marilyn Rothwell, I think, was the first comment.
Yeah, she says that she doesn't have her mask on.
Now, the reason she said that is because I also posted that video that has been shown on the internet, and you guys have seen it, I guess, about that passenger that got up and poked that old man, 80 years old, in his seat. You guys remember seeing that?
Yeah, well, yeah. She did more than hold him. She beat him about the head and shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean, with a fist and slapping him. I saw it. That gal's in a heap of trouble.
Yeah, and he didn't have his mask on either, as I remember seeing.
Well, if he did, she knocked it off of him. Yeah, I saw it. She was a former cheerleader for a major NFL team, too, you know.
Oh, golly. Well, she was with National Airlines. And also Carol Cantelmo. What did Carol have to reply? You got that in front of you?
The
next one.
She believes what's happening on the planes is due to the mask. You know, the mask. I don't know why that can blame it on that too much, but you do have a trouble. But you're telling people to find themselves in a tube flying at 35,000 feet above the earth, way up there, with no chance to relax with a drink and a mask in the whole time. I mean, I believe if I had a drink and had a mask on, I'd figure out some way to drink it. But apparently that is pretty difficult. I don't know. Bring me a straw or something.
And Teresa Bailey, also with National Airlines, what was her comment?
Don't get us started, she said. Once you get me started talking, I don't come with breaks. I'm just keeping on.
I love
creeping
that
on.
Comment. I don't come with breaks.
With
that
breaks.
Is great.
Oh, Lordy.
and Tracy?
Yeah, they say crazy. Yeah, she says crazy. Wenda Bush, I think, is one. Wenda Bush says collective madness is going on. And it's not good for flight attendants anymore. And they know for it. One, Susan Lopez, Moore, she says pray for the flight attendants. Do it. It's grateful I did it when it was enjoyable. She's talking about back in the old days. Yes, sir, Ree Bob.
And Keith? Keith Sokolik.
Yeah, he's got a comment. He says, for years, we've been told and that we passed laws that prohibit anyone from being offended. Well, just think about the logic behind that. With this progressive stuff, this logic, the natural conclusion is that the individual is always right. Well, they probably think they are, and God help anyone that disagrees otherwise. But there's no room for turning over the other cheek or overlook. In fact, you're offended by the acts and the words of others. Well, what do you do? Well, practice. Be kind. You know, be nice to each other. Treat people like you want to be treated. And understand you'll be butt hurt, but accept it and move on. And
I want to ask right now with that comment about what the rudeness of these folks. What do you think that's attributed to, Harry and Renee, you got some ideas as to what's going on today. Whereas it was great to go out to the airport in the old days, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and 80s, and it was comfortable to get on an airplane and ride and get fed in most cases with the airlines if you were going any distance. What do you think's happening there, Renee?
Probably for the last couple of years, the COVID situation with everybody locked down, that people are angry and they have short tempers. They just, it's me and I get what I want and don't get in my way, a lot of it.
That's exactly. How about it, Herring? What's your thoughts?
Well, I just, you know, think society in general has standards have been lowered and people feel free, especially with the internet, to see, to act and say things that they normally wouldn't. And again, going back to your guys and working in the business many years, I've never heard or saw of anything like some of this stuff going on. Now, I'm sure there was some instances 30, 40 years ago. I'm sure most of that had to do with alcohol. But yeah. I saw one this morning where the lady, she was crazy talking about she didn't feel safe. I mean, if you don't feel safe on an airplane, where would you feel safe?
Yeah.
She was talking about the other passengers around her, and she didn't feel safe, that type of thing. I don't know. But as Renee said, people in general, just they feel entitled.
Yeah, very true. Well, I like this last one by Dawn Anderson. Jim, would you read that from Dawn Anderson again from National Airlines? I like this one.
I hope this is a joke, but it's probably not. It was on the news. They're going to offer an easy way to travel. You just can get a microchip inserted in you. Now, that ain't like getting a shot. I mean, that's a little bit more than getting a shot.
Yeah.
And then you can just buzz right through security, no need for passports, vaccine cards, because they will know everything it is to know about you, and you will be happy. Bull dookie.
Very good. Well, we have the Silver Liners, and they responded. Melvin Ligon responded. He's an idiot, this referring to the guy that was in that confrontation with the gal in the aisle. He's an idiot, and hope he got some jail time. I saw one like that. My guy was yelling at the flight attendant to give him a window seat, and multiple attendants gathered. Then one went to check in to find him a seat. I said, "Excuse me, sir, you can have my seat. It's a window seat, and when the door is shut, you have lots of leg room." He yelled, "No, I want them to find me a seat." The attendant returned and said, and this is what Melvin Ligon said, "The others looked at me," Melvin Ligon, "and I shook my head up and down. She said, 'Wait for me around the island.' When she returned, she said, 'Follow me,' and took me to first class. Later bought me a drink. I felt great in first class." That's what the flight attendant said to this guy, which was nice. So followed up by a reward. That's good. And then, Harry, you sent on the Facebook page, you read that comment, and you said earlier, I saw this earlier, surprised at the 80-year-old man's reaction. I would have to think booze was involved in that issue. And you want to add to that, Harry? I just took it off.
Well, you know, the young lady, I wasn't really surprised that somebody of that age would do that. But I was surprised about the old guy. Man, he just gave it right back to her.
Yeah. Must have been an older version of Hal Cook.
Never had the pleasure of flying with him.
Oh, I had the pleasure of going through school and flying the Convair with him, and he was a hoot. He really was. If he liked you, you got along with him pretty well. But mainly, he was always after crew scheduling and the chief pilot and the chief pilot's assistant, chief pilot, and the secretaries and everybody that worked for the company in management position. He was the captain. But Nancy Lucas in the Silver Liners says there's no excuse for bad behavior on an airplane. And then Jeff Martin said, is it really more prevalent these days than in the past? Or does it just seem more prevalent because everyone has a cell phone and they're able to share the videos all over the internet? Well, a lot of truth in that. A lot of truth in that.
Well, I got it. I don't disagree a little bit. The passengers back in the 50s and 60s, they didn't act like this. And, you know,
no.
And even, no. I think that this something has happened to our citizenry and the just They just think everything belongs to them and they can do anything they want to. No, I disagree. I think it was much better in the past. People behave themselves much more in the past.
Well, he said, Jim, that it has something to do with everyone's got a cell phone, and when something happens
on
the airplane, they just turn that camera on and start filming, and then it becomes an immediate hit on the internet, you know, and the nightly
news.
Well,
that is true.
Cases.
I don't doubt that, but they got to be a jerk to begin with.
Or too much booze.
I would agree with Jim on that. You see these people involved in these road rage incidents, and I think to myself, you know what? He or she is a jerk 100% of the time. They just got caught this time, but that's just who they are.
Well,
I can count on one hand the number of times in my career that I had to be involved either directly or indirectly with a bad passenger. And the one time that I did where I was really involved, because he was just doing his, wearing a coat and tie, a businessman, and he was just giving the flight attendants hell. And they came up and told him, you know, I'm going to tell the captain. They went back and said, the captain told me, you better behave yourself. And he didn't. So this time I went back. And he was sitting on the aisle, and I leaned over to him, and he looked at me, and he never said a word. I told him that if I heard one more word from a flight attendant out of him, that police were going to meet the airplane. It was going to Sarasota, and that was the end of it. Yeah, I was going to have the police meet them, and he was going to get explained to them how come he was acting like this, interfering with a crew member. He didn't say a word to me, and he didn't say a word to anybody else the rest of the flight. And when he got off, I was at the time, they had roll-up stairs, not a jetaway, and there were two cops down at the bottom of the stairs waiting on him. And when he came out, I was standing there, and I took my finger, and I pointed like that at him, and the cops saw exactly who it was, and he saw that. He walked down those stairs, and he didn't say, he looked straight ahead. He walked over there, went into the gatehouse, and they were walking 5 feet right behind him. And he was probably thinking, God, I ain't ever doing this again, you know. And it wasn't alcohol induced either. He wasn't drinking. He was just a jerk.
Well, you know, the captains and the first officers, they can't even leave the cockpit anymore.
I know it.
They can't get back there to help the flight attendants. They're back there without any guns, and you know, they have to fend for themselves the best way they can. It's bad. Yeah.
That's a 2-man crew.
Yeah.
You know, we were a 3-man crew on a 727. Yeah. And every other airplane I flew with the airlines.
Right. Yeah. Well, over at United, this fellow named J.C. Weaver Balance, I think it is, from United, he said, time to make an example of these crazies on these airplanes. They should be a major fine and major jail time, and publicize it. That's a good idea. Then John Jackus Sr. said, entitlement and iPhones, dangerous combination. I had one of my top LCAs, not sure what LCAs are, try to get involved in an Ambien alcohol female passenger. She thought she was the greatest, and no man could deny her assets and talents. He got involved, and she punched him in the back of the – well, he left it at that. But Chris Doc Halliday, he said, this is from United, they're both wrong. They're both – I shouldn't say a-holes. That's what I can say. I use that and drop the S's here. And very happy to say that United has done a better job of making the rules clear and definite before the doors close, and the rules are enforced consistently and professionally. We've had fewer incidents like this than other airlines. Very good comment. Marine Jolly. Marine says, and this is why I drive everywhere. The flight attendants try hard to hold her arm back. Unfortunately, the passenger sitting down called her a swear word, and she lost it. He should be charged also. He helped to escalate the problem, and when confronted with a crazy, walk away, or in this case, turn away. Can't walk away. Because of time, I won't read the rest of these, but there were so many of these comments about terror in the air and what people are thinking about, especially the flight crew members, the flight attendants are mostly the ones that responded to this. Interesting, very interesting. Now, you had a story there, Jim. Do you still remember what that story was, or was one that you already told?
Oh, no. Well, I probably already told it, but I don't remember when or where.
Yeah.
But I think we were talking about Christmas, weren't we?
Yeah, yeah, Christmas.
Yeah,
New Year's,
I think it was
whatever.
A Christmas story. It's a short, short one, I'll tell you. This was with American Transair. I flew for ATA after Eastern Airlines. And we had something at ATA. You had captain's checks. You carried them in your flight bag, and you could write a check. Although you better watch out what you write them for, you know. It wasn't just carte blanche. It was because ATA flew around the world and did a lot of things and didn't have the support of a big United or American or something like that. So the captain had to do a lot more check writing. And I'm happy to say that I only wrote one check, though. I was lucky. And this was on Christmas Eve, and we were going from somewhere down south into Cleveland, I think it was, or maybe Pittsburgh, one of the two, and it was Christmas Eve. And they had put a notice out to the captains, if you're laying over on Christmas Eve, the captain take the captain's check, and everybody gets a good dinner and with drinks and all that, assuming that, you know, wherever you are, that the ATA, the captain would write a captain's check for everything. And so they told me that. And so when we got ready to leave, they had a delay because of the weather, and I'm pretty sure it was Cleveland, and it was, we were coming out of Florida, and it, we ended up with about a 2-hour ground delay because of fog up there. Then we took off and we flew up there, and it was right down on the you know, the, we saw the runway about 100 feet when we were landing. It was really bad. And landed and went into the gate and everything. And, of course, all the people were being met by people that loved them and all that for the most part. It was just a happy night. Even though we were 2 hours late, everybody was happy. Nobody was showing their behind or anything. And, of course, we went into the hotel, and they had a nice room for us. And I wrote that captain's check, and it was one of the best Christmases I ever had on the airline. And, of course, everybody was glad. We got them there. We got them late. The weather was bad. We didn't go around. We didn't have to divert, no nothing. And we had a the crew had a wonderful dinner and on the ATA.
Well, you remember we, the captains, were given permission, and I did it a few times when things like that went awry and or either extreme turbulence or anything like that that would happen in the air on the flight, and we were given permission to give complimentary drinks out. I think I gave out, I don't know how many of those cartons of miniatures. But anyhow, that was great when you did it. And, people did feel better when they got off the airplane, no matter what the situation was. But And that was fun to do. I really enjoyed doing that for the company. And it wasn't a blank check, but you know what I'm talking about, Jim. You've probably given out some of those to yourself. But,
we
had comments.
Neil, just goes to show that all of us like a little courtesy, appreciation. You know, we like when we think we've been wronged. I mean, Jim could do nothing about the 2-hour delay, but, you know, when we think we've been wrong, we'd just like somebody to say, hey, sorry about that. Here, take this. And, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I would like to talk with you. I just have a few more minutes, but I would like to find out if you guys have any special remembrance about 2021. Going to start. I know it's you got to have a quick response in your mind, but what do you think was your greatest moment in 2021? I'm going to start off with Renee up there in Canada. Thankful for last year, for a lot of things, but not necessarily for the pandemic, but because I didn't get, so far, knock on wood, mm-hmm. I haven't had COVID. But, Renee, what was your
Well, it's been so quiet. We were locked down here in Ontario and other places too. We couldn't really go to the grocery store, and it was just so quiet. Nothing going on. No events. Movies were shut down. We're looking forward to getting past it so we can get back to a more normal life. So it was a year that wasn't, you might say.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. I at the very last part of the year came down with a bronchial infection. Now, I used to think of that as walking pneumonia, which I still think I had, and it lasted. I'm just still recovering from it, and this has been 2 months ago, before Christmas, and it really left me. I just knew I had COVID. And when I went to the doctor, he said, no, it's a bronchial infection. And that was my sickness for the year. My wife's doing fine. She's uses a walker, but we managed to go up to North Carolina and back and two times this past year. And I'm sure hoping that this coming year is going to be a great year for the Holland family and for everyone else around the world. Jim, what's your thoughts for it?
Well, about the coming year.
Yeah, that last year,
boy.
Or the coming year.
Yeah. I really can't remember anything really big happening. I guess the biggest thing happening was that my son and his lady were able to fly in to Atlanta. She came from England. He came from Germany. You know, I'm talking about my son, Mike.
Yeah.
And they both arrived here within 2 hours of each other. His mother, my former wife's birthday was the following Monday. And she did not know they were flying all the way in from Germany and England. And I met them at the airport. And we made a mad dash for home that night because they had to get up early because Linda lives about 50, 60 miles north of here, and they wanted to knock on her door at 9 o'clock before she left to go to church. And in spite of all the problems with weather and all that kind of stuff, and they had to change airplanes and, you know, this, that, they made it in. And we did that the next morning and knocked on the door. Has three dogs, yappies, three dogs. And we're all standing out there, and his girlfriend has got her camera up, her cell phone recording, and all we heard was dogs barking. Dogs barking. I said, oh, Lord, oh, don't tell me this. And about that time, we heard her holler, be quiet, dogs, be quiet, dogs. And she came up and opened the door and the screen door, and there's her son, Michael, his girlfriend, Carrie, my wife, and me standing there, and she looked at the craziest look on her face, and all of a sudden she saw, recognized Michael at first. She's looking around, and she was dressed, fixing to go to church, you know, and she screamed out, Michael, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So that was a great Christmas present. She was born the day before Pearl Harbor, December 6, 1941, and that's was her 80th birthday. But I thought it was so great that Michael and his girlfriend planned that, and it worked. And, you know, Terry and I had a little thing to do with it, too. That was a great story. That was my big story of the year.
That was a good one. That was a good one. How about it, Harry?
Well, not too much. You know, I'm just looking forward to a new year, and hopefully things will get better, and we can get back to a more normal life. I think people are just tired of being pent up and ready to get out and go back to doing things they used to do.
Yeah. Very good. Very good thoughts. And so far the year, 3 days into the year, has been kind of peaceful and quiet here at our house and probably yours too. And golly, just hope it remains that way for 362 more days and counting. But as a producer of the radio show, the EAL radio show, I've been sent over the years and have read many great aviation stories that were just too good not to share with listeners. And for that reason, I have recorded a few that I think you will want to hear. And it'll be presented in a special broadcast this Sunday, this coming Sunday. It's not a talk show, not a call-in. It's just stories that I've selected that I think are worthy to be audibilized on the radio show. It's January the 9th. So at 6 p.m. after dinner or during dinner or whatever, if you want to tune us in, same way of tuning us in, that's the blogtalkradio.com, and that's /Captain Eddie, and we hope you'll listen in and put the time and date on your New Year's calendar, and we'll share some great stories with you that people have told and have sent me. And some of these are going to be in that book that I promised to show Jim Holder's picture when he was a little kid. I think it's on horseback.
What?
Yeah, you sent me a picture.
Oh, yeah. Did I see
Yeah, you remember
picture?
That? Yeah, you did.
Oh,
yeah,
I was
you
so,
did.
So cute sitting
and
up
a story
there.
Along with it. And
yeah,
about
the story
the snake,
with it, right.
Snake, and snake and the dog. So,
yep.
But at any rate, I ought to read that in our special presentation Sunday because it's a good one, Jim. And I got to put that in the volume 2 of Wings of Many. So with that and time, we're going to sign off with, and thanks so much, guys, Jim, Harry, and Renee. Thanks so much for being with us today. Appreciate your comments. And hope to have you back as often as you can come back this year. We're going to sign off again using Merle Haggard and his great song, Silver Wings. So, Happy New Year. New Year's, everyone. Anybody else want to say that? Sing all lang syne. But, Merle, it's all yours. And goodbye, folks. Thanks for listening in.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Yeah.
Jim, we need to get a deer camp report.
Next time.
Bye.
Silver wings shining in the sunlight, roaring engines headed somewhere in flight. They're taking you away and leaving me lonely. Silver wings slowly fading out of sight. Don't leave me, I cry. Don't take that airplane ride. But you locked me out of your mind and left me standing here behind. Silver wings shining in the sunlight, roaring engines headed somewhere in flight. They're taking you away and leaving me lonely. Silver wings slowly fading out of sight. Shining in the sun. taking you away and leaving me lonely. Silver wings slowly fading out of sight.
Have a great year, Renee.
Thank you. Same to you.
Bye-bye.
Yep.